morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have updates on coronavirus, including college graduation, an increase in scams, and continued construction of the Keystone XL oil pipeline. It's Monday, April 6th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl.
With Montana News, I'm Corin Cates-Carney.
And I'm Nikki Ouellette. As of 5 p.m. Sunday, Montana is reporting 298 known cases of the COVID-19 illness caused by the novel coronavirus. Missoula County announced its first death Saturday, bringing the state total to 6. 24 people have been hospitalized.
An area of the state we want to zoom in on for a second is Toole County. Nikki, what's going on there?
Toole County is reporting 16 known cases and 3 deaths, and this is a county with just 4,800 people in it.
And I was looking at per capita data from usfacts.org, and they've kind of given a per capita breakdown by county across the United States of where the novel coronavirus is present. And looking at the cases in Toole County per capita, it actually has more per capita than King County, Washington, which is kind of the heart of the Seattle area in Washington and one of the bigger hotspots in the West for at least total number of cases. For reference, King County, Washington has 127 cases per 100,000 people. Toole County has 317 cases per 100,000 people. Gallatin County in Montana, where there's the highest total count of cases or reported cases, there's 95 cases per 100,000 people. All of that per capita information is from usfacts.org and the case numbers as of this Saturday. And it's something to keep in mind when comparing numbers and cases about, you know, the relative impact this virus could have in an area. But Nikki, is there a sense of why these cases and deaths might be appearing in Toole County?
So county health officials this weekend said the majority of known cases are linked to the healthcare system and exposures related to healthcare. This is not uncommon. On Friday, Governor Steve Bullock said that about 10% of the total known cases in Montana are workers in healthcare. And we do know that healthcare workers in Yellowstone, Gallatin, and Flathead counties have tested positive. Hospitals have been expecting this. Healthcare workers are the first line of defense. They are most in contact with people who might potentially have the virus, so not really a surprise.
Do we know more about how COVID-19 got into the healthcare system in Toole County?
The first Toole County resident who was tested and hospitalized for COVID-19 was actually tested in Glacier County on March 25th. And this person was a resident at Marias Heritage Center. This is a retirement and assisted living facility in Shelby that has 38 apartments. And I'll just note here that a lot of personal data about the case count and about deaths, this is all protected under privacy laws, which is often why we're not reporting more information than we are. 2 days after that first detection, Marias Medical Center, which is the hospital in Shelby, said that new positive cases in the county included employees at its Heritage Center. So others were exposed, and at that time, the medical center said that they expected there could be more positives. They started doing contact tracing with the health department. They asked all potential contacts to go into quarantine. No visitors have been allowed into the medical center or Heritage Center, with very few exceptions. They're screening employees at the start of shifts, at the end of shifts. Masks are required. Anyone who's showing symptoms is sent home for further evaluation. And vendors are also not allowed inside. And just kind of a sense of how dramatic this rise happened in Toole County. Within 11 days, they went from 1 to 16 cases.
And this is a situation that across the country, across Montana, the case numbers are rising and changing very quickly. Nikki, how is Toole County preparing for the new cases?
On Friday, the Toole County Health Department said it and its partners had enough personal protective equipment for their current needs. But we know things are shifting very quickly. The health department has already launched a donation drive to boost supplies of masks, gowns, other protective gear, and the department is working with the Marias Medical Center to bring in more of a workforce and to secure backup plans.
While Toole County is reported to be one of the hardest hit per capita in Montana, the most confirmed cases of COVID-19 are still found in Gallatin. As we mentioned earlier, around 40% of Montana's confirmed cases are there. Yellowstone County has over 10% of the state's confirmed cases. And what we know about spread of COVID-19 is largely based on testing. And health officials here and elsewhere say there are people who likely have the virus who haven't been tested.
Speaking of the CDC, they're now recommending that we should be wearing face masks when we go out in public, like to the grocery store. Has Montana's health department said anything about this?
Governor Steve Bullock was asked about this during a press call on Friday. He said he's monitoring the situation, but as of Friday, hadn't made a determination about additional recommendations from his administration on this.
And also on that press call, Bullock said the state's closure orders are likely going to be extended. They're currently set to expire on Friday. Bullock said instead of putting in place a stay-at-home or business closure order that would span months, he wants to approach it in two-week chunks. So later this week, we might expect an update from the governor on possible closure and stay-at-home order extensions.
Thanks, Nikki.
Thanks, Corin.
Governor Steve Bullock said Friday current business and school closures and his stay-at-home order will likely be extended for another 2 weeks to April 24th. Those closures are currently set to expire Friday.
I think, like most Montanans, I'm over this. I wish the virus was, and the virus isn't over this. So we'll continue to do two-week chunks, and in consultation with our folks in Montana and federal officers and officials as well.
Montana is reporting 298 known cases of COVID-19 illness caused by novel coronavirus as of Sunday afternoon, though health officials say there are likely more patients with it who have not been tested. 24 people have been hospitalized, 6 people have died. At least 32 Montanans have recovered, more than 6,000 people have been tested. The Montana University System announced Friday all in-person commencement ceremonies are canceled because of the coronavirus pandemic. Kay Erickson reports on what the schools are doing instead.
The pomp and circumstance normally associated with graduation will be absent for those spring 2020 graduates. Karen Ogden, Communications Director for the Office of Higher Education, says the officials pondered the decision for a while.
We wanted to take the time to be absolutely sure that it wasn't possible and also to just coordinate across our campuses so that everyone was getting the news at the same time.
While in-person activities have been canceled, the 16 public campuses in the system are still working to honor the graduates. Montana State University said graduates will receive a personal invitation for virtual college celebrations to happen remotely in mid-May. Graduates will receive a spring 2020 commencement in a box that includes a blue and gold tassel. Montana State University graduates, including those at MSU Billings and Northern, will also be invited to fall and winter commencement ceremonies in December. Helena College says a new commencement will be held at a later date when restrictions are lifted. University of Montana President Seth Bodner says UM is surveying graduates on commencement options. Rocky Mountain College in Billings announced they'll hold a virtual commencement ceremony on May 9th. All of Montana's public universities moved to online classes in late March amid the pandemic. The order is in place until further notice. I'm Kay Erickson for Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Governor Steve Bullock announced Friday the state will use federal aid money to bolster Montanans' access to food during the ongoing COVID-19 crisis.
No Montanan should have to worry about putting food on the table for themselves and their families, especially during a global pandemic.
All of the following changes are made possible by the massive $2 trillion emergency coronavirus spending bill recently signed into law. Bullock says it allows for a doubling of the U.S. Department of Agriculture food shipments for pantries, tribal governments, and senior centers. The food is provided at no cost to those needing short-term hunger relief. Additionally, interviews normally needed to apply for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program will be waived. Those benefits will renew automatically. The Federal Ag Department is being asked to provide the maximum food assistance available for families eligible for SNAP in April and May.
So more than 52,000 Montana households are expected to receive the maximum available food assistance.
The state is also now making it easier for new mothers to access the Women, Infants, and Children program by phone. They'll also have a bit more flexibility. For example, if a store sells out of 2% milk, the waiver would allow whole or skim milk to qualify as substitute. Montana's June 2nd primary will be conducted by mail in an effort to limit the spread of the coronavirus. The ballots will be mailed out on May 8th. The U.S. Postal Service recommends ballots be mailed back a week before the election. Same-day registration and in-person voting will still be allowed. Counties will set the locations for late registration and ballot submission. County clerks say a new law that allows counties to begin opening mailed ballots on the Thursday before Election Day to prepare them for counting should lead to quicker results on election nights. Rental scams in Montana and across the U.S. have been on the rise for years, but COVID-19's slowdown of in-person property viewings and interactions with landlords may make it even harder for people to figure out what's legitimate online. Rachel Kramer reports.
Hannah Stiff, the Montana director for the nonprofit organization Better Business Bureau, says COVID-19, the illness caused by the novel coronavirus, is affecting the housing market in a big way.
From people looking to buy a home to people renting, you know, a stranger probably does not want you in their home. So looking for an apartment is increasingly difficult for people.
As more interactions and transactions move online, Stiff says rental scammers are more likely to rip people off. She says they may use social distancing as an excuse for not letting people see the property before asking for a deposit or personal financial information.
In the wake of any sort of natural disaster or pandemic or chaotic event, scammers ramp up very quickly. They try to find ways to take advantage. So rental properties are going to be no different.
Last week, a woman from Bozeman named Anna, she asked that YPR didn't use her last name, noticed a promising Craigslist posting for a rental home. It was in a good location and the rent was cheap. The people who posted it said they were volunteering in New Jersey for a year and just needed a responsible person to take care of the house.
I had this sort of like, it's too good to be true feeling.
They asked Anna for a $500 deposit and said they would mail the keys to her. She asked to see the place first. They didn't respond. Anna found out it was a scam when she went to the address listed on Craigslist and talked to the person who lived there. Anna says looking for a new rental and moving during COVID-19 was already very stressful.
The anxiety around all of that, compounded by a scam, was for a moment, it felt like this is almost too much. But emotionally, I just was like, this is where it stops.
She said she reported the scam to the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center. The center reported victims from January through October last year lost more than $37 million collectively. Hannah Stiff with Better Business Bureau says the majority of people who encounter scam rental listings do not fall for them, but when victims do fall prey, one in three will lose more than $1,000. Stiff says most people think it will never happen to them, but scams can look very legitimate. She suggests four ways people can protect themselves.
Number one, watch out for the deals that are too good. That deal that promises low rent, extra amenities, great location, but it doesn't fit with the area.
She recommends seeing what other rental properties in the neighborhood are going for and using Google Maps to confirm the address listed in the ad actually exists. Number two, Stiff says look for the same listing in another city.
See if you find that exact same address, that exact same phone number, or that exact same email. That's a big red flag that this is a scammer who's just plugging this information in and seeing who falls for the bait.
Her third tip, see the place in person whenever possible.
If it is a very extenuating circumstance like we're going through right now with coronavirus, see if there's a way the landlord can walk you through that property.
Stiff says that could look like a Skype call or FaceTime. Her fourth tip is to look out for any odd requests for payment or personal financial information before you've seen the property. If you see a scam, Stiff says you should report it to Better Business Bureau's Scam Tracker, the Internet Crime Complaint Center, and Montana's Office of Consumer Protection. Montana Attorney General Tim Fox said in a press release last week that the state received 17 complaints related to the novel coronavirus. Most were about price gouging. Three were connected to cancellation policies. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection announced Friday it will temporarily reduce its hours of operation at 6 ports of entry into Montana starting today. Hours will be reduced at the ports of Raymond, Piegan, Opime, Morgan, Turner, and Del Bonita. The Port of Raymond's hours scale back from all day to 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. The Port of Piegan will be open from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Both will remain open 7 days a week. The ports at Opime, Morgan, Turner, and Del Bonita will be reduced to 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. They will be closed on Saturdays and Sundays. U.S. Customs and Border Protection said it's making the changes due to a significant reduction in traffic after the federal government ended non-essential travel across the U.S.-Canada border on March 21st. The agency said the reduced hours will remain in place until April 30th or until the administration lifts the current travel restrictions. Both Senators Steve Daines and John Tester and Congressman Gianforte called on the CPB to keep ports of entry open, saying reduced hours would harm ag producers and disrupt essential services and commerce for communities that rely on the ports. The global economic crisis caused by coronavirus has devastated the oil industry in the U.S., which pumps more crude than any other country. In the first quarter, the price of U.S. crude fell harder than at any point in history, plunging 66% to around $20 a barrel. A generation ago, a drop in oil prices would have largely been celebrated in the U.S., translating into cheaper gas for consumers. But today, those depressed prices carry negative economic consequences, particularly in states that have become dependent on oil to keep their budgets balanced and residents employed. A Canadian company's announcement last week that it plans to move forward with construction of the Keystone XL pipeline in northern Montana has nearby Native American tribes and some locals concerned that the flow of workers could carry the novel coronavirus into a community with limited healthcare resources. Kayla DeRoche reports local public health officials say they're okay for now, and business owners are looking ahead to the added customer base.
Businesses in Glasgow hope that the influx of workers, right now fewer than 100, all of them from the United States, according to Keystone XL developer TC Energy, could be lucrative in the community of roughly 3,300 people. Cottonwood Inn and Suites owner Rob Brunel says the construction workers occupy the majority of his 65 rooms.
We're way down all the way around because of COVID-19, so it's nice having them here.
He says from what he's heard, workers are doing preliminary work that'll lead to building man camps. TC Energy spokesperson Sarah Rayburn says the company plans to begin construction on the 1,000-plus-mile pipeline in Phillips County. TC Energy says the pipeline would transport crude oil from Alberta, Canada, down into Nebraska starting in 2023. Montana counties in its path anticipate a financial boost from the controversial pipeline, one they say is even more sorely needed among business closures and travel restrictions due to the novel coronavirus pandemic. Phillips County Commissioner Richard Dunbar says construction would be a big addition to the county's funding base in the form of property tax. Valley County spokesperson Todd Young says it's a similar situation in his county.
And obviously, if there wasn't a COVID situation here, it would be a huge economy impact to our businesses in town.
Daryl Morehouse owns DNG Sports and Western Wear in Glasgow and says he hopes the construction brings in a lot of new customers.
We've had a few workers already in the store buying some warmer clothing and some steel-toe boots.
He says he's comfortable in believing workers aren't bringing coronavirus into the population, although he adds that's not to say they won't.
They tell me that they are tested every day. They have their temperature taken, and now they're wearing a pink wristband if they've been here over 14 days, so you know who they are.
Valley County Health Officer Dr. Ann Millard says the county gives pink bands out to newcomers who've been through the county's required health protocol.
The ones that are actually staying here, and those are to self-quarantine for 14 days, that if they're an essential worker here, they can go to their job and then go back home.
The Cottonwood Inn's Rob Brunel says the hotel has worked closely with Millard on ways to limit contact with those quarantined workers, including paying over the phone, leaving food at their doors, and installing a sneeze guard around the front desk. That's on top of other rules that TC Energy's primary contractor, Barnard Construction out of Bozeman, Montana, has established for workers like logging in and out of work sites, social distancing, and self-reporting. Millard, who's a family doctor at Francis Mahon Deaconess Hospital, says the countywide protocol is aimed at protecting Valley County's most vulnerable residents.
We're always concerned about the elderly, which is a big portion of our population in this county. We're also worried about those who are taking chemotherapy. We do that at our hospital, or other people who are on immunocompromising agents for their medical problems.
Francis Mahon Deaconess is a critical access hospital, which means it has 25 beds total. Millard says two of those are ICU beds, and the hospital has four ventilators.
For now, we're okay.
Governor Steve Bullock on Friday said he shares some people's concern about workers and their families potentially bringing the COVID-19 illness into counties currently reporting no known cases. But he added construction is considered essential work under his stay-at-home order, and that he's been in touch with local officials, TC Energy, and Barnard Construction.
I've further asked our chief medical officer at the state to coordinate with Valley County to evaluate the measures that they put in place.
But nearby tribes and those along the pipeline's plan route are worried. Attorney Matthew Campbell, who represents the Fort Belknap Indian community in Montana and the Rosebud Sioux tribe in South Dakota, says his clients have declared states of emergency for the virus.
Part of what we have submitted to the court is the concern about the gathering of these man camps with many people that come together and are working on the pipelines and that are near these tribal communities, which are generally at-risk communities in general anyway.
Campbell represents the tribes in an ongoing lawsuit against TC Energy on the grounds that the pipeline would cross tribally owned land and therefore violate their land rights. He says U.S. District Judge Brian Morris will hear the case remotely on April 16th, but it's possible the case could be decided before then. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.